Conquer!
Yes, you, boy. You're dead.
You are dead.
Deader than a...
I can't be arsed with this bloody ridiculous contraption. Whose idea was this anyway?
Hello, and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Hyle Russell.
And I'm Gibbon.
And I'm Jeff Onan.
Oh, we got too many people here. I don't like this. I don't know where I'm supposed to sit. I can't stretch out my legs like I like to do.
Too many people. Jeff and I have this covered. You can go.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, everyone. I'm going to call it an early one. I'm going to go warm up some Chinese food and fall asleep on the couch. Bye.
Oh, man, I want some Chinese food.
In my experience, when there's more people, it's easier to fade into the background and relax. So, you know, let the conversation go for a minute and just relax.
Every orgy Jeff's ever been to.
All right.
Well, we're talking about some risque things today. We're talking about, naughty squirrel. So
I was about to say it doesn't have to be risque, but yeah, I think it kind of does at this point.
Well, we've got loads
on brand.
We've got loads of episodes coming up in the next few weeks, if either of you care. Maybe you at home care. we've got another appearance coming up by Josh the Geek Critique Wallen. We've got a spotlight episode on Mario Golf Toadstool Tour, the one where Diddy got the extra fingers. Jeff, you and I, at some point, will be giving our thoughts on Sea of Thieves Season 9. We've got that episode coming up. We got our first impressions on Lego Donkey Kong. Oh, I can't wait for that one. And so much more. But, you know, I was thinking, in the lead up to all of this, we haven't done any episodes dedicated to Conquer this season. Conquer, the third pillar of the DKU. And I was like, wow, you know, that's... What does that mean? What does that say about Conquer? I think it just, you know, it says that outside of, you know, the occasional nostalgia episode here or there, an anniversary or what have you, some errant thing that Chris Seaver says or does, you know, it just feels like Conquer, unlike Donkey Kong or even Banjo-Kazooie, is just something that everyone assumes has no future. It just seems like it's a closed book at this point. At least not, you know, not with a new full-length game. You know, maybe we would have a Conquer appearance here or there, but nobody's really thinking, oh boy, I can't wait until they announce the new Conquer game. You know, nobody goes into an Xbox presentation thinking, this will be it. This will be the day they announce a new Conquer. So I was thinking, what if we countered that narrative ever so slightly, and we brought in the brain trust? And even though I was just complaining, I was just carping like the fish about how many people were in the old Conversation studio, I actually invited both of you here because I thought we would bring in three contrasting minds from the DK Vine staff on what you could possibly do with a new Conquer game. Now, we won't agree. We won't even like each other's suggestions. It's going to be awful.
That's true. I hate Hyle.
Yeah. I sense how much you just seethe with resentment every time we're in proximity to each other. You seethe every other.
That's not seething. He's wriggling with excitement.
Like Chris Seether.
He's not wriggling with excitement. That's Cameron.
More than
wriggling. I get it. All right.
What do you
see? She hates it.
See?
I was trying to. Oh man, I'm not going to be able to keep up this episode. I was trying to make a reference to the doggy dance, but it's fine.
Okay. All right.
For those who don't know.
Sea of Thieves reference.
Jeff does a little doggy dance in Sea of Thieves.
I'm a little doggy slut.
Oh, so anyway, we're gonna get into the weeds on this episode, and let me just tell you, you're gonna hate our ideas too. You listening to us?
That's a fact.
Yeah, we're gonna try to crack this nut, be it an acorn or not, about how you could possibly do a new Conquer game in 2023 or whatever year you would announce this. How you would do it. And we're walking into this with the assumption that Chris Seaver would not be involved except Mamie voicing the character, right? Like, this is going to be something done by a new studio, perhaps with oversight by Rare, but basically the auspices of a new creative team. So that's what we're doing on this episode of The Conversation. We're asking, how could you revive Conquer? Yes. So before we get into it, though, I have to beg for money. I have to get out my little tin can here and rattle it around and remind everyone that DK Vine is on Patreon. That's right. You can check us out, dkvine.com/Patreon, or just patreon.com/DKVine. If we get to $2,000 a month, oh boy, I can dedicate myself to DK Vine full time without having to sell any more organs on the black market. I'm running out. I don't have any more to give, and it's getting kind of concerning. So I need you patrons to come through, or else this is going to get ugly. Check us out on Patreon.
I guess we need to go sacrifice another, I don't know, naughty forum member or something.
Yeah,
you don't want to make us do that. It's real ugly. So just go to patreon.com and give us money. And when I say us, I mean Heil. I don't see that money. But
well, Jeff,
we need it.
Jeff, if you want money, maybe you should plug our merchandise store.
Maybe I will. Why don't you guys go ahead and check out dkvine.com/merchandise. Ooh. Because we have some. We do have some. And on our merchandise, the some that we have, it includes t-shirts and other things. Mostly t-shirts. We have a handful of them, including, I think, some new ones for the upcoming month. What do we have, Kyle?
Well, we got ones coming up for August, but I'm not going to reveal them here because it's not August.
It's not? Oh, yeah. I don't know what day it is. But for June, what do we have for June?
Well, for June, we had our Pride t-shirts, which are still available. They're all for charity. But it's July, Jeff. It's July.
It's not my job to keep track of that. You didn't put it in the notes.
Okay.
If you want to buy a t-shirt, DK Vine style wise, you can do it on that website link, and we'll get a little money from that. And by we, I mean Heil.
No, you get some if people buy any shirt that Jeff thought up that isn't for charity.
Any shirt that I thought up that wasn't for charity. The only one I thought up so far has been for charity, and I appreciate that all of my hard work is going to charity. That's good.
Yeah,
but just don't trick the users into thinking that they're supporting Jeff. Because I don't want them to feel that they are.
Jeff, you get a cut if they buy the grapes shirt.
I keep forgetting that's still there. I think that in my head they're being cycled out. Like the grape shirt shouldn't still be there. Listen. There's kind of like a bet. There's like a bet joke prank going on at DK Vine that you, the listener, are not going to buy the grape shirt. And so if you want Heil to be right, keep not buying the grape shirt, you know, but if you want him to be wrong, if you ever wanted to make a stand for something in your little life, if you ever wanted to have an impact on this world, then buy the grape shirt on dkvine.com/merchandise.
See, I didn't ask Jeff for permission to turn this little joke he makes into a t-shirt, but I was like, you're gonna get a cut of this. And it's a really stupid joke that Jeff makes about...
I think I made 67 cents on this so far.
Yeah, because the only person who bought it was me, for you, as a joke.
He bought it and he sent it to my house like he says it's a joke, but it's more like a fucking prank. It's like the guy who killed your dad and then sends you his pants in the mail. That's how, where I'm at. So if you ever wanted to prove Heil wrong, go to dkvine.com/merchandise and buy the grape shirt.
Given,
do it for me.
Jeff is bad at doing the due diligence. So would you like to do this next part where you plug our Twitter alternative? Well, excuse me, it's not even Twitter anymore. Our X alternative.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. You can follow us on Twitter, Mastodon, Hive, and now Blue Sky, as well as Facebook and Instagram. And I'm sure a couple other esoteric alternatives we haven't found yet, but are squatting on our name for some reason. I believe Joe is running the Instagram, right, and he does a lovely job on it. Our show notes tell me we're also on Giphy. Wow. I didn't know that. When did that happen?
We've been on Giphy for a while. We got some
Nice. Yeah. So we're out there. You can find us on whatever. I'm sure we'll pop up in the most unlikely of places, ready to give you some esoteric Donkey Kong facts and some off-color humor, whatever the case may be.
That's right. That's right. So check us out on all of those, including X. I'm sorry. I can't say it with a straight face because it's so stupid. All right. Well, there we go. We're all here. Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. Talking about off-color humor and esoteric references, I think it's a good time to discuss Conquer the Squirrel. So, part of the reason that debating Conker's future is so hard, in my opinion, is that his past is so convoluted. For those who are old enough to like remember the whole history of the character before Just Bad Fur Day, mm-hmm. Like Conker is both Chris Seaver's auteur vision for the series that did start with Bad Fur Day, which was released in March of 2001, but it's also everything before that. You've got the plucky young squirrel who is in a cartoon woodland full of merriments and mirth, and that was from the announced Conker's Quest from E3 1997, and then he debuted as Diddy Kong's friend in Diddy Kong Racing later that year. And then of course Conker's Quest became 12 Tales Conker 64 in 1998, and then we got Conker's Pocket Tales in 1999. And yeah. I really quickly would like to plug a new video on the YouTubes. Ooh. About Conker's Pocket Tales. DK Vine community member Freezer has made a new video about Conker's Pocket Tales, and it's actually a really lovely little 20-minute or so video that actually covers both the original Game Boy version of Conker's Pocket Tales and the Game Boy Color version of Conker's Pocket Tales, which, you know, both in the same cartridge, and because of that, most people forget that the Game Boy version exists, or because it's not really emulated, it's not really out there, and you have to be a freak like us to really remember it. And
I think I'd switch back and forth more if they didn't both use the same battery and override each other.
Yeah, that's a shame, but
yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching someone who kind of came into our community relatively recently compared to, you know, us, and they're just like making sense of Conker's Pocket Tales, and this is great to see. So check it out if you haven't. But yeah, Conker's Pocket Tales, of course, looms large for the likes of us. You know, not a great game, Conker's Pocket Tales. It's kind of a middling game as far as Rare's output from that era, but it's not a bad... I wouldn't say it's a bad game.
It's an ambitious game.
It gets some things right.
It's a Game Boy game.
That it is.
Great point, Jeff. Great point. I think that it's a game that sticks with you for whatever reason. It's a game that you play and you don't forget, even though I'm not sure how many people have actually played it. Definitely under a million worldwide, but it for those of us
probably under a billion too.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know.
Can't argue with that math. I can't do it. But anyway, Conker's Pocket Tales, of course, made a sizable impact as the first Conker game. For those of us who followed Conker from Diddy Kong Racing, we're like, oh yeah, can't wait for 12 Tales. And then, of course, 12 Tales never came to be because it was delayed again and again after Banjo-Kazooie came out and kind of blew what Conker's Quest was trying to do out of the water. And then they had to, like, go back to the drawing board, and they just couldn't come up with an idea that really set it apart. So they decided to get a little naughty. Let me spank my ass here. Ow! That's me getting a little naughty right here on the conversation.
It's hard to imagine Heil with an ass.
I've got a great ass, Jeff. I don't know if you've ever checked me out, but I'm proud of my butt.
That's actually not true. You know for a fact I've checked you out.
I do a little dance in the mirror every morning just for my own self-esteem. But
oh my.
I was very happy about the Bad Fur Day reimagining when it was announced in the year 2000, just because I was the exact right age for that to appeal to me. It's like, oh, Conker is eschewing the cutesy route, and it's going to be just deliberately raunchy. Hell yeah, this is awesome. Look what I like. I like mature things. I'm a sophisticated person about town. Let me put on my monocle and get in a limo. And I still really like Bad Fur Day, don't get me wrong, but, you know, certain aspects of it, I don't think have aged as well as they would have had they not gone down that route or gone with some of the humor they did. I very much like large portions of the game still, but just kind of taking all of that into account, everything that Conker was going to be, was attempted to be, and then turned out to be, trying to reconcile all of that when you're one of the only people still talking about Conker, it's kind of challenging.
Yeah, I say, looking forlornly at the Conker section of the forum.
Well, again, because nobody's sitting here thinking, I can't wait for the next Conker game. Because, you know,
nobody but me, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you are the resident Conker champion of the DK Vine staff. That and DK Arcade, which I just find a delicious dichotomy. Like, how did that happen in your brain? It's great. I love it. And that's why you're here. Jeff, I'm not really sure why you're here. Actually, you're here because...
Yeah, I'm cheap.
I recommend that.
I'm not expensive to get.
I recommended you be on this episode because we've talked about this exact topic before, and I thought you had some good ideas.
We have talked about it. Yeah. I do have good ideas. Actually, a lot of my ideas are good ideas, but no one ever will admit that is true.
Jeff.
Except for Jem. Jem gets me.
Jeff, I said your grape shirt is a brilliant idea. Let's do it. And then you just poo-poo it.
Well, our great favorite new person, Freezer, is in the Twitch stream chat and says that Jeff is here because Dustin was busy.
Oh,
so,
that's not true.
And that might be true. Was busy.
That's not true. I came to Gibbon and I said, I've got this idea for this episode. And she said, let's bring Jeff on here. And I was like, that's a fun idea. Because I don't know if I've ever been on an episode with Jem
with me
and Jeff. So
the thing is, Heil and I have never talked about Kinker. conquer?
No.
So I thought this would be saucy. I thought this would be a kind of a contrast of styles and philosophies. And I got excited about it. Because, Jeff, you do have good ideas. People don't give you enough credit for them. But I'm saying right here and right now, you're a clever little fella.
Mm. Yeah, I did come up with Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't get credit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we need to change that.
You're like the Jack Kirby to Miyamoto's Stan Lee. It's
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, since Bad Fur Day, you know, we've had like stop and start attempts to get Conker going again. Of course, Conker Live and Reloaded was like the big money shot. It was the attempt to make Conker this big brand, this big franchise for the Xbox. And Conker Live and Reloaded was a remake of Bad Fur Day, but it also had multiplayer bits that kind of acted as both a prequel and a far-flung future sequel to the events of Bad Fur Day. And it didn't really sell all that well. So
you're going to be hearing that last bit a bit as a refrain.
Believe it or not. Hey, believe it or not, an Xbox game didn't really sell that well. It's actually unbelievable. It's from a first-party Microsoft studio. It had a lot of hype behind it. Microsoft is the one who made it for the Xbox console. And it didn't really succeed. Can you believe this? It was a game made for an Xbox console, like first-party development. It was probably around an 80% quality games review wise. Didn't make a lot of great sales for the Xbox.
See, the problem can you was believe it wasn't named Halo.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I remember in our like extreme, like dewy spring baby thought on the DK Vine forum back in the era, like 2004-ish, we were all thinking, you know, Bad Fur Day didn't do well in the N64 because Nintendo kneecapped it, right? It was Nintendo's fault. So now that we're taking Conker to a system that will celebrate it, Conker has a shot of being the Xbox mascot. This is a big deal for Conker.
We'll put it on it. We'll put it on a council where the first party IP will sell. We're gonna put it on the Xbox. Shit!
Yeah. So it turned out we were wrong. And it was a life lesson. It was a life lesson that maybe people don't want Conker.
Maybe they don't. Maybe people don't own Xbox consoles. For fuck's sake.
So. Anyway, we had that game, and then we had really nothing for several years. Until we got Conker's Big Reunion, which was a game housed in and made with the assets of Project Spark. Do you remember Project Spark? Also, it didn't sell well. In this
what case, console was it on?
It's on Xbox One, Jeff. And it turned out like Microsoft Studios just completely pulled up the ladder to Project Spark. They were like, well, that didn't do well. All right, well, let's just completely cut off support for it so people can't even share their game ideas. And this was like several years before PlayStation had a very similar concept with Dreams. And yeah, it's a shame because Project Spark was a clever idea.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe just wasn't accessible enough for the layperson. I don't really know, but I liked Big Reunion. I thought Big Reunion was a nice swing. It was supposed to have multiple chapters. You know, it took place 10 years after the events of Bad Fur Day, kind of catching up with Conker without really trampling on the potential for a full-length sequel. But then we only got the one chapter, and then Microsoft said, that's enough for Project Spark. And that was it. It was kind of left dangling there. I liked it, though. I thought Big Reunion was charming, and I really appreciated it as a fan of Conker and Rare. I thought they really got it right. So,
I go through it about once a year.
Yeah. So then there was also, quite controversially, Young Conker for the Microsoft HoloLens.
Yeah.
This was a
mid-pool. Two other people have played it.
Well, in this case, nobody's played it because a HoloLens is extraordinarily expensive for the average Joe and Jane out there. You can't really just go out and buy a HoloLens with your milk money. You can't do it. So a lot of people
don't make enough money for that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't even think Young Conker even came out. They think it was just some sort of demo that never saw the light of day. It was actually a full game. It was actually a full game. And Young Conker was a midquel between Pocket Tales and Bad Fur Day. And of course, everyone lost their mind when it was announced because of the art direction and what have you. This was still, I mean, we even didn't have a great reaction to it here on the conversation, but this was a little bit around that same era when people were just viewing everything like this with a very, no pun intended, harsh lens, where, you know, nuts and bolts drama was still in the zeitgeist, and people weren't really ready for some radical reinvention to the brand when we weren't getting a quote-unquote mainline Conker game. And people were harsh on Big Reunion, too, and I didn't think that was fair because Big Reunion...
Yeah, I've never understood that.
Yeah, it was just, we're not going to like anything unless it's a full-length Conker sequel made by Rare or whatever. But, I mean, Young Conker was kind of a PR firestorm that I don't think they were expecting. And to be fair, nobody's been able to play it to really, like, have a new opinion of it, except, you know, you, Jem, but...
Yeah, I tried to get it up and running on the free HoloLens dev emulator, but they specifically made it and the other free Team Asobo HoloLens game inaccessible in the emulator. The emulator specifically coded to not allow those two things to run in it. You have to buy a HoloLens if you want to play him.
And I'm still scraping money for a new Xbox Series X. So how am I supposed to buy a HoloLens?
Yeah. Yeah.
Patreon. So anyway, yeah, like Young Conker, I've definitely softened my view on Young Conker because I've watched the footage. I've listened to your opinions on it. And I'm like, you know what? That actually seems like a pretty fun little delve into like a part of the Conker timeline we haven't really seen, but unfortunately it has never had that redemption arc that like things like Nuts and Bolts have really been able to go on, because you just can't play Young Conker, so everybody just remembers that anger and rage, and then that's where it's been left at. And it's a shame. One day we will do a conversation episode on Young Conker, but I would like to actually play it, you know, first.
We'll figure something out eventually.
So anyway, aside from that, that's kind of it. I mean, Conker also appeared on the Rare Limited team in hashtag IDARB, but talk about games that only a few people know about or care about.
Yeah.
Jeff?
He's had some Minecraft skins.
He's might have been in Minecraft as well. And of course...
That's enough. No, stop. We've been I'm watching the clock. It has officially been 30 minutes, and I cannot allow us to spend more than 30 minutes not talking about the topic of the episode.
We are talking about the topic of the
episode. No, it's the preamble. You're talking all about things, but look it. What we're meant to be talking about is how would we revive the Conker series. And we've just hit 30 minutes. I'm shutting you down. I know that Conker was in IDARB and Minecraft. You know it, and I know it. But the audience doesn't care. So we're moving on.
I like to think our audience cares a little bit about IDARB and the Minecraft skins and the renewed attention Conker got in Rare Replay in 2015.
I would be incredibly depressed if they cared about hashtag IDARB. I'm sure they have not played it. Most of them don't own an Xbox.
All right. Well, that brings us to the topic of the episode. Quite rudely. So, you're as rude as an alcoholic squirrel, Jeff. I don't know if anybody ever told you
this. But I don't pee. That's my main thing, is that I don't pee.
So, I that preamble was necessary, though, to take us to where we are with this topic, because after all of these false starts with the Conker series, how could you do a new game in 2023, 2024, 2025, and satisfy anybody? Because here's the thing. Nobody's actually really successfully made Conker a decent selling series. It's got notoriety. It's got name recognition. But nobody actually buys Conker games.
Well, the important part is to ignore what the fuck fans say they want and not try to satisfy everybody and just concentrate on making a good game, first and foremost.
Considering we are still talking about Conker in 2023, I think people should listen to us and our ideas for a Conker game.
Also that, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, us, but in particular me.
Well, we'll see. Well, because we're going to compare notes. So here's how we structured this episode. You don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what you two are going to say. Oh, we're gonna compare notes back and forth. We're gonna surprise, delight, and probably infuriate each other with our ideas. So I hope you're all ready. Let's talk about how we would revive Conker. Now, let's start with what the actual gameplay, what the structure of the game would be like. So I'll go. I'll start, being the good host that I am. So, I think you do need to basically crib from the basic structure of Conker's Bad Fur Day. You have, like, chapters. Maybe even keep the framing narrative of it taking place over a single day. Maybe even having it be, like, Conker's recollection, like it was in Bad Fur Day and Live and Reloaded. Going from morning to late night or whatever. But I think, personally, for me, while you would have that, bring that in, tighten up the platforming, have it be more of a strong platforming game, in that Conker House style. And this is just a personal preference. Maybe make it less reliant on shot-for-shot movie parodies. because while that might have felt oh so delightful, oh so funny and fresh when Conker came out in 2001, me personally, after living through two decades of Family Guy and Robot Chicken, and you remember the whole blank movie franchise in the 2000s into the early 2010s, the, like, here's date movie, here's epic movie, here's superhero movie, where you just basically take scenes from blockbusters and just recreate them in an inferior way, shot for shot, and that's the joke. Hey, you remember that from this thing, you corn shucking rube? You remember that? Laugh, you're clever because you recognize a thing from this thing. I think that's kind of salted the earth for me as it comes to, like, Conker's main source of humor in Bad Fur Day. And when you look at what's remembered and loved the most from Conker's Bad Fur Day, I think it tends to be its more original concepts, or where it was able to have more of a singular voice than just, hey, remember this thing from this movie? Like, you look at The Great Mighty Pooh, which is, yeah, just an operatic Pooh monster, but it really is the thing that most people take away from that because it wasn't necessarily from anything else. And, you, like, the spooky chapter, once you get away from the Bram Stoker's Dracula parodies, and which I liked. I did like that because at least that was a little bit more esoteric than, oh, The Matrix but was a squirrel. you know, It's War, people really remember, and that started off as a Saving Private Ryan parody, but, you know, it became its own thing. But, yeah, I think we need less stuff like Enter the Vertex, unless you're actually saying and doing something with it. But, like I said, I'm personally fine with keeping the overall structure of Conquer the same, just tighten up the platforming, make it more fun to play, and I'd be satisfied.
Yeah, Gibbon, why don't you go ahead and follow up on that question after Heil?
Gameplay-wise, I'd go in the complete opposite direction. I'd actually tone down the platforming and maybe remove it completely.
Oh, my God.
I've always described Bad Fur Day as more of a cinematic platformer than a straight like Banjo or Mario style platformer. It's got different controls. It's got more cinematic set pieces. It actually reminds me more of stuff like the Oddworld games or Eco. And I'd go that route with it, where maybe you have some platforming, but it's all contextual and furthering the area rather than the main gameplay loop. And I'd focus more on the just creating nice, memorable set pieces and areas to go through and encounters for Conquer to have. As for the parodies, I do agree that you should tone down or eliminate the explicit, like, shot-for-shot movie parodies. I'd still lampoon the genres, though. I think it's still okay to have setups that are sort of evocative of a genre, of like a type of movie. So maybe you have like the war movie scene or the Western showdown scene sort of thing that kind of hit the tropes without like pastiching a specific film's scene in particular. And not just because they'd probably get sued if they did that in this day and age, but because, I don't know, I think that's sort of baked in to the franchise at this point. Like, even in Young Conquer, you've got, like, a lot of Bond pastiches, but they're just pastiches. They're not outright, like, copying specific scenes from Bond movies or spy films. They're just, like, archetypes and kind of lampooning general setups and whatnot.
Sure, I would be satisfied with that. Absolutely.
What about you, Jeff?
Hey, all right, I'm the third person. Okay. So gameplay wise, people are not going to like what I have to say about gameplay. I do not think that if you were going to make a sequel to Conker's Bad Fur Day, that you could just make another game that is fundamentally structured like Conker's Bad Fur Day. I don't think that you would do that. I don't think you should do that. My idea is that a game today in 2023 or beyond would fundamentally, potentially be structured around multiplayer. So I think that a new Conquer game, if it were to come out, might be better served if it were focused on online multiplayer, if it were focused on that realm of the Conquer experience, which I think the multiplayer has always been a really prevalent element of those Conquer games from Bad Fur Day and Live and Reloaded. But I think that, like, you cannot ignore them. They need to, like, and so there's so many ways you can do it. Do you make a Conquer game that is a multiplayer deathmatch game, which is kind of what Live and Reloaded played with when they went online? And it's not really the way I want it to be. There's the idea of, what if Conquer was one of those there's so many. One of those one versus all online games like Dead by Daylight, Evolve, the Friday the 13th game, the Evil Dead game, the Killer Clowns from Outer Space game, etc. There's so many games nowadays which present this idea of like
asymmetrical multiplayer.
An asymmetrical multiplayer game, but also the thing that I want to focus on in what I'm going to talk about for this episode, for the podcast, is that it's a multiplayer game, but with a the story element. And I think that that's the biggest thing that Live and Reloaded did. Live and Reloaded really focused on the multiplayer after being, it's essentially a remake of Bad Fur Day, but they focused on this online multiplayer, and they created, they really focused in on like how we're going to make an online multiplayer for Xbox Live. But they also incorporated that multiplayer into a sort of story mode. They're like, how can we marry the two? How can we be, how can we have a thing that is a story mode that is also online, with which is sort of something they attempted to do with Chapter X in Conquer Live and Reloaded. And whether they succeeded or not or whatever, but there have been a lot of games since then that have done the same, that have attempted and succeeded to do the same, to do games that like tell story with through whether the game itself is online or not. But the idea is, here's what I would want out of Conquer, out of a new Conquer, is I want a new Conquer. The people at home, the people on the internet, they're not going to like me for this. I want a new Conquer to be focused on that multiplayer, and I want a new Conquer to be focused particularly on a multiplayer squad-based third-person shooter. I think that Conquer should focus in on being a third-person shooter. That means that the camera is behind the player and looking at the squirrel, and it is a shooter. And you have a squad. Squad means a team of up to four. And then they go into matches that involve AI opponents, which include may include waves of enemies, etc. But the idea being this, I think that the marriage of the story mode with the squad online is the way to go. Left 4 Dead, exactly. Gibbon immediately locks into what I'm thinking. But yes, Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood, etc. type games, but where you have a squad, four players, up to four players on the. You could play this solo, but you could play it up to four players with your buddies, and then you're on a team. That's a squad. And then you go into the mode, and then there's a story to it. And the story is you being faced against computer AI enemy adversaries, and that's the game. And there might be a story to that, you know, to play through. But there would also allow you to go online and kind of compete in leaderboards and do sort of squad versus squad stuff, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. But that's where I think it ought to go, is I think that a focus with the online first, and then the story is something you can do through that, but then also the kind of endless horde of zombie mode, whatever, for your squad to face, etc. Now, let me say this also as well. One of the things about Conquer's Bad Fur Day that I think needs adjustment is that I think Conquer's Bad Fur Day is a good game, but the gameplay is weak overall because it's not focused. And then it's like, okay, well, it's like, oh, it's a platform game, but it's kind of like, it doesn't control very good when it's a platform game. And then all of a sudden, it's a third-person shooter, but it doesn't control very good as a third-person shooter. And so my thing is like, okay, so I would love for a Conquer sequel to maybe institute a little more focus and picture in onto one gameplay idea, but make it better, like make the controls better at that one thing.
Well, and I think we've all kind of said the same there. Like, we've all had different ideas on where that focus should be, but I think we've all generally said, okay, they need to focus in on this one aspect.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are coming in and saying, you know what, I would just keep it exactly the same because it was perfect.
Absolutely. But my opinion is that a Conquer sequel should 100% focus in on being a third-person shooter. A Conquer sequel should be a shooter. From beginning to end, it's a shooter. It's a third-person shooter where you can see the squirrel with the tail. But it's a third, but it's in the third person, and then you have the controls. But I think that's the part of Conker's Bad Fur Day that I think, because once you get the gun and then you do the horror chapter and you do the war chapter, those things, I think that if you just were to pick one thing to focus on and do good at, do that. But when I say that it should focus in on being a third person shooter, I don't mean that right out the gate you should start with guns. Because right out the gate, maybe you start with a frying pan. Like, ooh, you know, but my thing is, you should start with Acme style cartoon weapons. You get the frying pan and you have that and you can whack people with the frying pan. But as you progress, you gradually get more and more weapons. And another thing that I think they should do gameplay wise, this is going to be a bad episode because I have such detailed thoughts and they're so, but listen, I really think that, okay, if the game focused in on being a third person game about both melee, ranged, and gun play combat, Conquer could, I would want them to develop a sort of cartoon logic system where the different items you can interact with, they all have this sort of internal logic that makes sense. And then, you can use them all as weapons. You can use them all for puzzles. Let me tell you this. Here's an example. Here is an example of an item system you would use in the gameplay of the Conquer game that I would make if I was in charge of Conquer. Here's an example. Let's say you go into a level and you develop and you discover that you can pick up glass bottles. You've got these glass bottles, like beer bottle glass bottles. Okay, so now you've got glass bottles. These glass bottles have multiple uses. Everything in the game would have multiple uses, and everything would be logical about how you can use them. So let's say you pick up glass bottles in addition to the other things that you have in your inventory. Like, you always have the slingshot. You always have the frying pan. But let's say you pick up glass bottles. You could throw them. And if you throw a glass bottle at a dude, it's going to break, and then you're going to have a splatter shot of glass. Like, that's a thing you could do with a glass bottle. So throwing them a glass bottle as an item in your inventory, it's throwable. But it's also a melee item, because you can smack a dude with a glass bottle. So if you have a glass bottle, you can hit somebody. And if you hit somebody with a glass bottle, it's going to break, and it's going to turn into a shiv or a broken bottle like item, and then you can stab a dude with that. So if you have a glass bottle, it's not only throwable, but it's also a hittable item, etc. But it's got a durability to it. That's how I would have the combat work. You have durability to items. The glass breaks as you hit somebody, and then that. But glass bottles are also fillable. If you can encounter liquid, you can fill bottles with liquid. So let's say you can fill the bottles with beer. What if Conker has a glass bottle and he encounters beer? He can fill them with beer. Now you've got beer bottles. if you fill the bottles with beer, suddenly they become a new item in your inventory. There's a whole kind of logic engine to it. If you throw a beer bottle at an enemy, not only does it damage an enemy, but it also does a status effect to them, because beer that splashes onto them does a status effect. But if you don't want to throw it, you can also just drink it. Because if Conker drinks beer, Conker gets drunk. And when Conker gets drunk, that's a status effect that you might want to have. So that's an effect you can do. And when you drink the beer, then you suddenly create the empty bottle. But guess what? Whenever Conker drinks beer, he does his signature move. When Conker drinks beer, he pees. So
no.
If you drink the beer, then you now have to piss. So you have the option. You could piss onto stuff. If you want to piss onto stuff, you can piss onto enemies. You could piss. You could put out a fire. You could put out. You could piss on anything. It might be part of the puzzle solving to piss on an thing. But you also have empty bottles.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Jeff. Can you piss?
I was waiting for us to get to the.
That's the whole thing. That's my whole thing. Because the whole thing is that it's a logic engine of how you combine actions and status effects and items. So if you want to, you can piss right back into the bottle. The bottle had beer. I drank the beer. The bottle is empty and I had to piss. So what if I piss in the bottle? All of a sudden, I have a bottle of piss. Now, I can inflict the piss status effect onto enemies anytime I want if I want to throw it at them through the bottle. It's a little bit like Sea of Thieves when if you get drunk and want to puke, you pull up the bucket and all of a sudden you can fill the bucket with puke. And if you want, you can use the puke bucket to put out a fire. Like those things that don't really matter, but they are there. That is how it should work. There's just the logic engine of it. So you've got the beer bottle. You drink the beer. You piss in the bottle. You can throw the bottle onto enemies. And the piss status effect is a meaningful combat option. And then that's something you can do. Now, what about this? Let's say you have the bottle of beer, but you discover out in this level, you discover white rags as a resource item. You pick up some white rags and you say, you know what? What could I do with white rags? What if I put the white rags in the bottle of beer? Well, it starts to look pretty close like you could create a Molotov cocktail. And that's something you can do when you discover white rags and you've got beer bottles. If you want to create a Molotov cocktail and you have a way to ignite it, that's something you can do. You start setting people on fire. If you start doing fires and you think, oh no, there's too much fires, something you can do to put out fires is to piss on them. Pissing on fires is the thing you could do. But guess what? That's not the only thing you can do with white rags, because let's say there maybe were a bespoke puzzle where you had to use a white rag to create a flag of surrender. That's something that might happen with a white rag. But you know what is a more common use of a white rag? Is a diaper. So if you have white rags, maybe if you can find a way to make Conker take a shit, or another character take a shit. Like, let's say, for example, you just created a baby dinosaur and he's going to take a shit. If you've got white rags and you have some character that will take a shit, you can create dirty diapers. And because Conker always has a slingshot on him, you could always slingshot dirty diapers. And this, I think, as much as this is a silly haha joke, this overall is what I would make the gameplay of a new Conker game, is this logic engine of items and interactions. Everything has status effects. It's consumable by Conker or throwable against enemies. You have the status effect that affects the enemy. You have what affects Conker. You have the combination of items. In a way, that is similar to sort of the logic that can happen in puzzle click adventure games. But it's applied in this context to a combat game, because I'm thinking of it in ways of like waves of enemies trying to attack you. And you're thinking of like, okay, that's an enemy that is immune to diaper shit, but he's extra weak to fucking Molotov cocktails. But that enemy is extra weak to diaper shit. So I'm going to diaper shit that enemy, etc. And so I'm thinking of this, but I'm thinking also it's a squad thing where you're a squad shooter of four teammates and you're trying to do it. And then you're all kind of crafting these items as you go very quickly. Like you combine items. And so there's a sort of crafting combo way. But the idea is this. You would focus in on the combat element, but you'd focus in on the Acme cartoon slapstick items, or you'd focus in on the sort of M-rated poo-poo shit-cum items, you know. And you'd do that kind of thing to,
So I what here's what I appreciate about this dynamic we've all got going on right now. I was like, yeah, you know, bad fur day, but you know, with better platforming. And Gibbon was like, yeah, bad fur day, but you know, with no platforming. And Jeff just brought a tome. Jeff just brought like
this is why I was like, you know, who else needs to be on this episode? Yeah. As soon as you brought this up,
and I think we're all gonna maybe gravitate towards different aspects of this pitching process, because obviously for me, I'm not a game designer. I'm somebody who's very much into story and characters and lore. So I don't really have a lot to say here, except like I like things when you can jump, and then Jeff it comes in here with just like the most dynamite pitch I've ever heard. It makes sense.
Let me say this. The general idea, I think that at any point, is that the whole thing has to be sold on character animations and dialogue reactions. That's, I think... So the thing is, if you're going to make a sequel to Bad Fur Day... You know, this is a high level thought. If you are going to make a sequel to Bad Fur Day, you have to go and ask, what are all the things that make Bad Fur Day what it is? And then of those things, which of them hold up well? Which of them do not hold up well? Which of them are the most important? Which of them kind of can be twisted, etc.? But my thinking is this. Is that all that thought I had about flinging a diaper through a slingshot, etc.? It would be sold on the notion of the enemies having great animations. Because one of the things in Bad Fur Day is fantastic animations, voiceover, and character reactions. That's one of the things. So that would be a key pillar, in my opinion, of a sequel, is... Yes, whether your idea involves diaper slingshots and fucking piss bottle beers, whether or not it does, but the idea, it has to have great character animations, character reactions, and those things, those have to be like solid. That's a key piece. So when I said all the thing with the third person shooter with flinging, throwing bottles of piss and et cetera, that's a key piece.
So yeah, I was a little bit hesitant when you pitched this, because this just really sounded like the direction they wanted to take Conker when bringing it to the Xbox. But then what you just pitched is a lot more than just the, you know, wartime setting of Live and Reloaded. It's a lot more cartoony and chaotic and comedic, even, which I appreciate. So
my thing is thinking of, there's a logic engine to it where every item has multiple purposes. If you have a bottle, you can throw it, or you can smash it, or you can fill it with liquid. And once you fill it with liquid, when you throw it, it has a different status effect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the idea behind that would all be in the service of comedic interactions, animations, but also there's the gameplay effect. Because if you splash a dude with piss, and he has an animation for that, that there's a comedic element to that, but there has to be a gameplay attribute to that. So, so piss covering is a status effect, you know? Yeah, or let's say, for example, when I said in my example before that you might get a white rag, and if you have a white rag, you might be able to wave it as a flag of surrender, or you might be able to put it into a bottle and turn it into a Molotov cocktail. But you know what a white rag is also used for? Is a diaper. Wait, yeah. Did I already say the diaper story?
You've already said all of this.
Well, yeah. I'm repeating myself. Yeah. The point is, diapers and... Did I already said this? Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
The idea is, all around, is that everything would be logical to the player.
Right.
Of that things can interact with other things.
Gotcha.
In logical ways. That's the story. That's the whole thing.
This is like a Super Tramp song. It's so logical. That was just for you, Jeff.
That was just for me. And yet, even though I'm on the spot, I'm not going to be able to help you out or come up with a second response for you. No, I can't do it.
So Jeff, you alluded to like M-rated shenanigans, and you mentioned piss, and you mentioned shit. I don't know if you actually mentioned cum or not, or if you were saying.
I think he mentioned it briefly.
Well, yeah, not on purpose.
Yeah. And I think cum would probably push it into M-rated territory. But this is my second question that I want us to compare notes for. So, what would the rating for this proposed Conker game be? Because the question is, Conker is, of course, known as this game that was M-rated and kind of like that was the whole taboo behind it. Oh my God, it looks like your standard N64 game, but it's M-rated. Oh. But since then, we have had Conker games that have not actually gone for the full M rating. For example, Big Reunion was simply rated teen. And yet, despite that, they still had a sequence where Conker pissed all over Birdie, really just drenched him in urine.
Urine-wise,
right. And, it got me thinking, because you don't really need to be an M-rated game to go all the way to that M-rating here for the ESRB here in the Americas. But, you don't really need to go for that 17 and up rating to be entirely transgressive or even thought-provoking in any way. Like, not that there's anything inherently wrong with that. You can do that, and that's perfectly valid. But my question is, do we go all in just to, be safe? Or do we, keep to the teen rating? If you can piss on people with a teen rating, I don't really know. I don't work for the ESRB.
The M rating was for the gore, not for the piss and shit.
Yeah, so, do you need, like, the excessive gore, I guess is the question. If you can still walk out with the teen rating, maybe make it more accessible for a larger audience. Because the M rating was more of a marketing gimmick, I think, than anything. If you have a piss...
Oh, it might have also been for the... No, the alcohol... Because Big Reunion has alcohol.
Big Reunion has a lot of alcohol. Yeah. So
just the gore.
Yeah. If you have a drunk pissing squirrel, my question is, isn't that all you really need for success? And so my vote is teen rating to make it more accessible. But I would be very interested to hear what you two have to say.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I'd say, teen at a minimum. Like, you could go up to M, depending on the content. I think that really depends on where you take the, like, you don't need the gore, but you could have it if it's, like, integral to your vision for the thing. Like, if your Looney Tunes vision includes stuff like when you blow up the rat by feeding it cheese and its, you know, little blinking face while it's dripping blood is like, oh my god, maybe I shouldn't have done that sort of thing. Yeah, I could see you pushing that teen rating up into an M. Or if your story gets into some subject matter that the ESRB deems too adult for frail teenage minds, whatever that may be. But yeah, I'd say generally speaking, all you really need is teen. Like, Young Conker still had innuendo and raunchy humor everywhere and some alcohol, and Big Reunion had tons of alcohol and pissing on Birdie and whatnot and gunning down Teddies with a machine gun. So, like, I think you can kind of cover most of your bases with the teen rating.
Yeah. No, I tend to agree. One of the big questions, if you're going to make a sequel to Conker, is just to kind of look at Bad Fur Day and ask the question, like, there are a lot of jokes in this game. Which ones work, which ones don't, which ones hold up well, etc. Like, what is the style of humor to take forward in the series? I think things like some of the absurdist humor works great. Some of the juxtaposition humor, like the idea, a big piece of the whole thing is that it's like, this is a cutesy platformer, but all of a sudden crazy stuff is happening. That juxtaposition is the joke. Like, that works if you manage to set it up and then pay it off, right? I don't know if all of the movie parody humor works so much, but that's whatever. And then, you know, the swearing and vulgarity, etc. Some of that works. In my opinion, obviously, since I said if I were making a game, it would be multiplayer focused first, and the multiplayer would be unrated first and foremost, because a lot of multiplayer modes are unrated because of the fact that you never know when you play online with a guy if he's gonna say the F word. You never know. But that's the thing. But, like, in terms of the game itself, I think that anywhere in the teen plot to M rating, obviously it's not going to be less than teen. Like, we all agree it's not going to be less than teen rated. But my opinion is that the humor that works in Bad Fur Day, the stuff that you're going to carry forward, is you're going to have some potty humor. You're going to have some of the swear words, because the juxtaposition of the cartoon character saying the swear word is, like, part of the joke. And then you're going to have, I guess, some of the movie parody thing. But the movie parody thing, to me, is the part that least holds up. And also anything with, like, sex jokes. Sexual jokes don't hold up. Just kind of refrain from them. There's lots of particular jokes that don't hold up, and you can just identify as you're writing them whether they're going to hold up or not. It's obvious. But anyway, when it comes to parodying an IP, I think that the new game should do this. Here's my attitude: is that the story of the thing should not do movie parodies at all. Shouldn't do it. Don't do it. You don't have to. Just don't do it. It's fine. Don't do it. But the online multiplayer is going to have season content.
Never mind, I don't like this anymore.
And after every season, there will be hundreds of costumes and thousands, maybe millions of costumes. And your character can, and every person on the internet world will be able to play as a different squirrel. And every squirrel will have a different costume. And you'll have 1 million different costumes with the season content. And it might
have a random squirrel generator for character creation.
Absolutely. But you won't just be a squirrel. You might be a badger or a weasel or anything you want to be. But the thing is this. The thing in the end is that there will be costumes. And in my opinion, the actual story of the game should probably not put too much into movie or fiction parodies.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely do not mind if they put movie parodies into stock costume skins. Times a billion. Like if the movie, if the story itself ignores the movie parodies, that's fine. And then all of a sudden, the online multiplayer where you go online with your friends, if that is like, hey, we've come up with 10,000 skins and every costume is a reference to a movie, I'll be like, I don't care. That's cool. That's in keeping with the spirit of the thing. But I just think that storytelling wise, it's not all that great. And if you have to, if you absolutely insist that the movie parody will be part of the thing, then at least make it a movie that is 20 to 40 to 80 years old. Mm-hmm. Like parody something that everyone knows and is not going to get dated. When you parodied Matrix, I thought to myself, hey, I said, hey, it's 2001 and I'm 8 years old and this reference is about to get dated. And guess what, guys? 20 years later, 8 year old me was right. But hey, the question you asked, Kyle, was about the rating.
Rating. That's what I asked, actually. Yeah.
The rating, in my opinion, is just anything from T to M. Obviously, online modes are usually unrated. But I think that it's fine if it's M. It's fine to me if it is M rated, but I just want the jokes that make it M rated to be the kind of jokes that are going to hold up. They're not like offensive jokes.
Right.
It's not jokes that are like M rated because they're shitty. Like that's not the humor that's going to hold up or that people want to hear. There's M-rated jokes that are fine. For example, if a squirrel has diarrhea or something, that might be M-rated. I don't know if a squirrel diarrhea
show.
If you have M-rated diarrhea squirrel, that's fine. But if you have M-rated, the squirrel is a Nazi or something like that, I don't want.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like, Big Reunion starts with Conker waking up in an orgy pile with one of the other squirrels still up his ass. So, and that's teen. So I think we're fine.
Sex is fine.
Well,
it's all about the mess.
Usually what pushes it up to M, but it's the way you present it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah. If it's tasteful sex, if it's artistically done.
Yeah.
Does a squirrel have a vagina? Or is that like a...
Yeah. No, that's a mammal thing. Yeah, they do.
A cloaca.
No.
No, 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 no. Look it up.
I don't fuck squirrels, Kyle.
Moving on.
This is why Jeff doesn't have an M rating, everyone. Moving on.
Because I don't fuck squirrels.
So you mentioned Nazis, and I thought that was interesting, because this is the part where people are going to hate my idea. Jeff, people pitched your idea, or you pitched your idea, and you said people are going to hate it. I'm going to pitch this part of my idea that I don't think the internet will like, because...
Okay.
So this is the plot of the game. Whatever you want to call this Conker game, Conker's big revival, whatever. It's a new Conker game. This is my story idea, and I already pitched my gameplay idea, which is basically just Conker's Bad Fur Day, but better and with less crap. Not literal crap. Like, poo monsters are fine.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I just mean, like, you know, Matrix parodies and offensive jokes. But my idea for the plot is, so way back on DK Vine, way back in the day, we had this idea, oh, what if it was Conker, but Dante's Inferno? I don't want to do that anymore, because that doesn't work for me anymore. I am intrigued that, like, Other Bad Day, Chris Siever's, like, outline for it would have made me, like, somewhat broach that concept, but I think enough time has passed, too much time has passed, that you really don't even want to bring up Barry. Barry's dead. She's been dead for decades. Just let her be dead. It's a terrible thing that happened. It still haunts Conker. It still informs his character, but we're not messing with that anymore. She's gone. So I would definitely still want to incorporate the Teddies. They are the big bads of Conker's world at this point. And, you know, big reunion. I would definitely not want to ignore what big reunion set up. And what big reunion set up was that the Teddies were slowly reestablishing themselves in the Panther Kingdom. They were, like, cloning themselves. Like, the few Teddies that survived were basically like the Daleks in Doctor Who, in the New Who. They, like, a few survived, and from there, they're slowly going to rebuild their ranks, right? Now, I would extrapolate what has happened in the intervening decade or so since Big Reunion. So would the Teddies have simply rebuilt their army and said, we're going to war again, and you know, wage war on the Panther Kingdom again, sans the professor manipulating things? That's boring, and that doesn't accurately reflect what antagonists like Teddies would do in the modern day. I think they would develop a new strategy, a new modus operandi to follow, rather than just simply declaring, like, World War III or whatever. I don't think they do that. So I think where I would go with the storyline, and this is what people would hate. People would hate this because I would be looking at the last, 10 to 15 years of our own society, culture, reality that we've been living in, albeit in a really cartoony and comedic and maybe pointed way. You know, you say a little something with this nonsense, but I would have the Teddies sort of covertly convert people to their ideology. And the Teddies, you know, they're obviously Nazi stand-ins, but we don't really know what they stand for other than we are evil plushies. So you don't really have to wade into these waters too much, but you would have them start radicalizing people through, I don't know, social media, or this is all stuff that happens before the game, mind you. You know, sympathetic podcast. I don't know. However people get radicalized in this day and age. But meanwhile, Conker's been king. He's kind of been inattentive as king. And this is an idea that Chris Siever had with Conker's Other Bad Day, where Conker's kind of been a terrible king, and in Siever's version, he just, like, drank and he spent all the treasury on like booze and prostitutes or something. But I would think Conker has just kind of been inattentive to the changing landscape of the world, and he hasn't really been serving the people. Now, obviously, this is thorny territory. We're getting into some real world stuff, but I would have the game start with some sort of castle insurrection scene, right, where Conker is besieged by the mobs who have been radicalized by covert forces to overthrow Conker. And then the game is Conker on the run, having to basically take out the Teddies and this mysterious online figure who has spread all these various conspiracies that incited them. It's conspiracies about Conker, what he's up to. They've been getting, what we're going to call it, getting truth stanked. You get stanked online. As it's like, you know, I got on this website, I listened to this podcast, I got stanked, and now I want to overthrow Conker. So Anyway, Conker is convinced that maybe the professor survived getting sucked out into space. Maybe he's behind this. But that's the central mystery of the game, and I'll come back to that when we discuss characters. But yeah, Conker would be this overthrown king who then sees that, you know, those who lived under his rule, be they squirrel, chipmunk, weasel, acorn person, oh yeah, there'd be acorn people, and so on, are now subject to the tyranny of this Teddy's ideology that is now in effect through this coup d'etat. And so while he just kind of stumbled into the role of king through this vague drunken adventure in 2001, where he was just really fulfilling these wanton vices that he had, this greed and all of this just naked ugliness, now he actually finds himself out of power, seeing the terror around him in the Panther Kingdom, and actually having to fight back to reclaim the throne and actually care about something other than himself. And like, let's take those embers that were stoked in his brain in the It's War chapter and actually have it set off an inferno of character progression and growth. Let's have Conker actually strive to be the hero again. And so Conker kind of crisscrosses the Panther Kingdom as a kind of like freedom fighter, trying to disrupt the authoritarian pseudo Neo Teddy's regime and help those who have been put in the crosshairs of all of this. So rather than drunkenly stumble from event to event and just have things kind of happen to them as they were in Bad Fur Day, Conker and his allies, and which we're going to call his allies the Rare Resistance, that's probably not going to be the name they're going to go with, but the Rare Resistance, they're taking a more active role in this game. They are actually influencing the events rather than just have things happen to them. And I think Conker could still struggle with vanity and vices. He's still a drunk. He's still a bit of a, you know, a lout. But the Panther Kingdom is burning around him. And so the game's climax, and this is my pitch for the game's climax. And keep in mind, I'm holding some things close to my chest right now while I'm telling you the plot. I won't divulge those till later. But the game's climax could actually be instigated by appealing to what remains of Conker's vanity, where Conker gets an invitation to an unmentioned but heavily implied fighting game that, of course, is implied to be Smash, but we can't implicitly say it's such. And Conker is flattered. He considers just abandoning this whole thing to go essentially be made into a video game god in this fighting game. And he can even mention that, hey, I guess a few of my old friends must have put in a good word for him. And so that's his ticket out of this mess. That is his way out of this strife. He could have the golden ticket and basically get this ladder out of this nightmare that he finds himself in. But of course, you know, they wouldn't actually want a squirrel who pees on people in Smash Brothers. So this was all a plot by the true enemy of the game to lure Conker out and capture him, which will eventually bring him face to face with the final boss of the game. And that's my plot pitch for the new Conker.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I knew you would hate it. I knew everybody would hate it.
But I don't hate it. I like parts of it. I don't like the way too close to home insidious rise of background fascism.
Okay, but it doesn't have
I have to live in that. I don't want to fucking play it in a video game.
It's a teddy bear fascism. We don't know what that's goofy.
I don't know.
You get truth stanked, and then you want to overthrow Conker.
Like, I like parts of the pitch. I think the Conker gets an invitation to Smash and is like, well, why do I need to stick around here? Is kind of brilliant from a meta plot perspective, because that's exactly the sort of thing a Conker game would do. That's great. I love that. I like the resistance. I like the sort of Conker taking a stand and influencing events rather than stuff just happening to him. I like a lot of it. I just don't like the let's parody the rise of fascism just like what's happening in real life. Because I'm tired of that.
Well,
I don't want to do that anymore. I want to get away from that.
You gotta have a message beyond squirrel peas on people.
No, you don't.
No.
All right. Well, let's hear your idea then. If you don't want to have an insurrection in your plot.
I was going to kind of completely ignore any Bad Fur Day parallels and do kind of a... So Live and Reloaded, as we've mentioned, honed in on one chapter in particular, It's War, and kind of expanded that into a full thing with the redone multiplayer mode that was all kind of war games and the sort of narrative stuff you could go through there that was in that style. And I think that's, while that didn't work out for them, I don't think zeroing in on one chapter of Bad Fur Day and extrapolating it into a full experience is a bad idea in and of itself. So my favorite chapter is Spooky. So I was going to kind of pitch maybe a lampoon of a horror game where you've got kind of Conker plopped into the middle of like a Silent Hill or Resident Evil and the game trying to play itself straight around him, but he's Conker and he just doesn't care or doesn't notice or is drunk or whatever. And it's not working out for the horror game that Conker finds himself in the middle of. So I was going to do maybe a Silent Hill or a Twisted Wizard of Oz where Conker finds himself on the wrong side of town or maybe in the next kingdom over. Like he was trying to get home from the bar. He decided he was going to take a cab this time, but it dumped him off in the middle of nowhere and drove off with his wallet. And he's now in a place that is eerily familiar where everyone kind of looks like the Bad Fur Day staples, sort of like a Majora's Mask situation where you're reusing all these character designs, but they're different people this time. So, like, maybe there's someone who looks like Barry, and she's completely uninterested in him. She doesn't know who he is, but for real, and not just playing it up to make him jealous this time. Or you have, like, someone like Rodan, except Rodan's the foul-mouthed mafia boss or something. Like, everybody looks familiar but has different personalities and is doing things different. A real, like, Conker wakes up at the end, and you were there, and you were there, sort of thing you could set up there. So we have a bunch of familiar faces, but they're in new contexts with new names, and Conker's just going around this new environment, doing odd jobs for people in no particular order, trying to get cab fare to get back home, and hoping the cab will actually drop him off in the correct place this time. And that way you set up, like the first half of Bad Fur Day, you have a bit more free form, you have a lot of different options of what you can do, and there's no particular order you need to do them in. And so you can just kind of go exploring and find the situations Conker finds himself in, and have these like vaguely horror game tropey things happening around him that he's either too distracted or too busy or hungover or just doesn't have the time to notice and just kind of take the piss out of the genre while you're at it and just kind of play up that whole aspect. Maybe get Concula back in just as a parody of your sort of Midna or Navi type character. Have him, Conker's disembodied great-great-great-great-grandfather hovering over his shoulder, telling him everything he's doing wrong, Cranky Kong style. Just something like that, I think.
See, that sounds scary.
No, the whole point would be it's setting itself up as scary, but it's not, because Conker's just diffusing it and turning it into a humorous situation by being himself as he goes through it.
I have to play that with the lights on. I don't know.
Yeah. Why would you play games in the dark anyway?
Well, one hand on the penis, the other hand in the butthole, etc. But
what? You can't just say etc. and then just move on from that, Jack.
I said etc. I said etc.
Moving on.
My thinking about the plot is this: I don't do much thinking about the plot. but in terms of it, here's my thinking: is this. I think that Conker's Bad Fur Day in particular, which is what I would want this new sequel to really kind of build upon. I think that where it succeeds comedically from a foundation is its setting up of the idea that Conker is in a G-rated cartoon world until all of a sudden non-G-rated things start happening. Like, he's in a cartoon world that you're used to, and then all of a sudden M-rated things are happening in that world. And I think that's important. And I think that's part of the reason why I think that, at least in terms of the first couple of worlds or the first settings, Conker's Live and Reloaded, for me, ruined the atmosphere of some of the early settings. Because some of the early settings in the N64 game feel absolutely like they were ripped out of any old cartoon 3D platformer, so saccharin, etc. And then you've got a squirrel who pees. You've got a machine gun. Let's kill the bees with the machine gun. Or whatever happens. I haven't played it. But I think that in Live and Reloaded, the setting, the visuals of that setting are a little more gritty. And there's this whole... And I think that people in some way like seeing this, like, what if there was a cartoon platform world, but the world was so gritty and lived in and dirty and nasty and shitty and stupid. And people kind of like that. But, like, I feel like it ruins the joke of the setup of that. Like, this is a cartoon world you've seen. Now, what if the people in that cartoon world said F word? And so that's something that's important to me. Now I'm bringing this all around back to the question, which the question was, what would be the plot? The plot of a sequel to Bad Fur Day, people will tell you it's going to continue on from the story, and I think that's right. But I would make it a priority to establish immediately on the setting and the sensation that the game's in a saccharine, G-rated cartoon world. And then when the M-rated things happen, they are juxtaposed from the setting. And that is what makes them a joke, because otherwise it's not funny. And so I know that the plot being, oh, Conker became the king, so what do you do next? Does he go to hell? Does he go to jail, etc., whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think that the very first thing you have to do in the game is put me in a regular 3D platformer, put me in a Disney movie or a Tex Avery Looney Tune setting. And so I don't care how you achieve putting me in that setting. I don't care if it's a dream. If it's a dream that precedes the plot and then sets up the plot. Maybe Conker is dreaming that he's in a perfect little cartoon forest, and then everything that happens is a metaphor for the fact that he's in motherfucking jail or whatever. Like, that's fine. That's fine. But the first level of the game has to be you have to take the squirrel that pees and put him in the setting of the squirrel that does not pee. And then later, when the squirrel pees, that is why it's funny.
Jeff, this just sounds like a proverb you give out to people who seek out your wisdom.
people, because when Conker wisdom out, when he had to pee, he had piss and he wisdom.
I actually like snorted a little bit and it burned my nose.
But that's my thinking. My thinking is that like I have a lot of ideas for that. One of the main things about Conker is set pieces.
Yeah.
And like you can imagine those, and those are easy to think of. But in terms of plot, the plot itself, that might be not so easy to think of. But I think it's important to establish right out the gate that this is Cartoon Squirrel in Cartoon World. And then when Cartoon Squirrel starts slingshotting diapers and throwing bottles of beer piss, that is the joke of it is the juxtaposition.
Right.
Mm. That's part of it.
Right.
But yeah, so but I do have a lot of ideas for the story, or at least in terms of the set pieces. I would love that notion that Conker goes to jail. I don't really care about jail, but like escaping from jail is one of the greatest set pieces you can do in fiction, whether it's a video game or a film. Escaping from jail is a great set piece.
Right. You got the great escape. You got Ernest goes to jail.
And the other. Yeah. Shawshank.
Yeah.
But, Shawshank. But basically, you know, if Conker goes to jail, one, and we're about to talk about this in a second, but one, it sets up the opportunity for him to meet other characters that are also in jail, that can be an opportunity for, Easter egg characters to,
right,
to show up. Maybe he's in the same jail as Gex the Gecko. Ooh. I don't know. But the point being then he's got to escape from jail. So maybe he sets off what is the word? There's a fight at jail.
Prison riot?
What is it called? A riot. Riot is the word. What if he sets off a riot, then he escapes into the sewer? They go into the sewer, and then in the sewer, there is a poops. One of the things that I remember from Conker's Bad Fur Day is poops. There was a great mighty one. His name was Great Mighty Pooh. And when he goes into the sewer to escape from the jail, Shawshank style, he runs into smaller, less mighty poos. Maybe he runs into goldfish that have been flushed down the toilet and they are Royston style and they're knocking on the glass, but they've got little robot bodies. Or maybe there's that old that old classic cliche of the people who flush the alligator. The alligator gets flushed down the toilet and then down in the sewers becomes a giant monster. So the idea of Conker navigating a sewer is probably the single set piece that I've most thought about in terms of throughout my life imagining a sequel, is imagining what if Conker escapes jail by going through a sewer and there's poos, there's goldfish, there's alligators, there's etc. And he has to escape through a sewer. That's something I would like to see plot-wise. But in terms of like what is the story, I don't care. Is there a reason to stop Nazis? Yes.
I mean, I think the only reason you need to stop Nazis is that they are Nazis.
That they exist.
Yeah.
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 But that's not my plot. My plot is more about will they go to a sewer?
we'll make sure in all three of our versions of this game, we'll work in a sewer for you, Jeff.
Yeah, and we'll work in a Nazi for you, Isle.
Look, Teddies exist. I don't just want to bring Nazis to Conker. They are the biggest antagonist in Conker.
Right, yeah. Sometimes I forget that, but you're right, probably.
Yeah. All right now. Don't put this on me. So, listen. I want to talk now about the most exciting topic on any DK Vine presentation, because, you know, we're all about the characters when it comes to video games. That's what we celebrate above all else. That is what the concept of the DKU, of the shared rare universe, is built upon. Character. And this is what really excited me. Besides my plot that everyone hates, this is what excited me the most. I know Chris Seaver is famously against the idea of a shared universe setting for Conker with the other Rare IPs. But with all due respect for him and all the fantastic work he's done, I think that's silly. I think that's limiting. And I think it completely betrays what's already been established in the
game. Yeah, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, so we live in an era where shared universes are more mainstream, even if people are getting a bit sick of them. And people view Conker and Banjo-Kazooie as a unit already. Like, they are basically sibling franchises. Everybody thinks of them as such.
Yep. I keep saying we should combine those sub-forums.
No, because eventually one of these Conker games will get made, and then everybody will just want to talk about Conker in the sub-forum. Anyway, it makes...
Yeah, and because we still haven't gotten a new Banjo game by then, that's perfect.
They're all going to come out close proximity to each other. It'll be a golden era. Anyway, it makes sense to keep Conker separate in terms of characters, not sub-forums. From Diddy Kong Racing and Banjo-Kazooie once it became bad for a day. Obviously because, you know, the moral panic and it still being under Nintendo and all those considerations you would have to make when you make such a bold move as, hey, we're going to take this this fledgling IP and we're going to make it extra naughty and I'm going to spank my butt. There we go. But... You know, it made sense at the time. I understand why they made that decision in 2001. That hard split. Like, kind of when... Gibbon, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. When DC Comics instituted the Vertigo brand in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And they took all of these DC properties that were part of the DC universe, and they were like, okay, but you can't mingle with the DC universe anymore. So things like Swamp Thing, Sandman, Constantine, they just kind of... Mm-hmm. They still existed, but they didn't really interact with Batman anymore, right? Except for maybe one-off occasions. So,
of course, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
That's all right. That's why I gave you the Supertramp reference earlier, Jeff, so you would feel included.
Yeah, but I was on the spot, and I did a bad job of it. Crime of the century. Brother, where are you bound? Sorry.
So now you make Gibbon feel like the odd person out. So everybody loses here. So anyway, I say all this because I think it's silly in 2023 or 24 or 25 or whenever to still have that hard split, especially now when people just view Conker as basically in the same universe as Banjo-Kazooie, when you got them all on the same pages on Fangamer, when most people who were of age around that time now have lower back issues. We should just dip into both and have a free-for-all. And so this is my big pitch for characters in Conker's Bad Fur. I don't just make this a reference fest. I don't want just to make this like a Rare Avengers movie, because that's not what you want it to be. Conker's story. But I will say,
was that just the setup to the pitch? I thought that was a pitch.
No. Listen, Jeff, I have ideas. All right. He talked about flinging diapers for 40 minutes. You're gonna let me?
I could go longer.
I didn't know you could. I know you could. You're going to let me have this little moment in the spotlight. Let's make Bumper the Badger a Conker character. Now, Bumper, I think, could even be the sidekick, the wingman, the co-lead of the game. So in my plot pitch, because we're still on my plot here.
The fluffer.
Yeah, if you want. Bumper was the one who showed up at the castle to get Conker the hell out of there at the beginning of the game. Basically, Bumper was his getaway driver. Maybe he owes Conker a debt of gratitude because it was Conker who pardoned him for his crimes. And Bumper is just there with Conker, basically facilitating his getaway and getting him from point A to point B. Bumper could be like a deus ex machina to like get Conqueror out of jams when need be. But I think Bumper should basically, just like Tip Top kind of became a Banjo-Kazooie character, Bumper becomes a Conqueror character, but maybe with greater agency and importance to the plot. Now, my second want, second and third actually, is I definitely want Birdie and Greg the Grim Reaper, Death, to both be back with expanded roles. And I think they should both be heroes. They should be part of the Rare Resistance. And I think the Rare Resistance itself should be maybe working with some old Squirrel High Command spy networks as established in Young Conqueror. Some like abandoned underground facilities that nobody knows about, but Birdie knows because, you know, he's kind of like the sage. He keeps his ear to the ground. He knows these things. And
because his ear fell on the ground.
So, yeah, like Birdie's there to help assist Conqueror and Bumper. Maybe Greg would be assisting them because too many people are dying under this authoritarian regime, and he just can't deal with the workload, so he wants to put a stop to it. I like Greg as, you know, more of an anti-hero. I know Chris Siever talked about making him like a villain in Another Bad Day, and that never set right with me. I like Greg as kind of like,
yeah, but he was going to be the main character of Gettin' Medieval, wasn't he?
And Gettin' Medieval is a game I do mourn a little bit, but I think Greg should. Greg, in my mind, is like the mumbo jumbo of the Conqueror series. Not a one-to-one comparison, but he's kind of like this slightly spooky. You don't really know what's up with him, but at the end of the day, he will do what's right or perceive whatever the moral arc of the universe is. Greg will come down on it. So I definitely want Greg in there. And I think Greg is just a fun character. And Birdie definitely grew on me after Conqueror drenched him in piss in Big Moon. And I was like, you know what? I've underestimated Birdie. He can take it as much as he can dish it out. I love it. I would put Rodent in the game. I'm a little bit undecided because here's what I want. And you're going to hate this, Kevin. I definitely want Conqueror to encounter a past character who has, it turns out, been radicalized. And I want that to be part of the plot. You have to kind of break this brainwashing and get them back to the side of Conqueror. And I don't know if Rodent would fit that bill, if that would be a little bit too heartrending to make that Rodent, but people would care about him more than, say, Ted the Boat Builder. But I would get Ted the Boat Builder in there for sure. Because I definitely want to reference Pocket Tales. I definitely want to reference Young Conqueror, Big Reunion. I want it all in there. And I would even have cameo appearances by characters like King Jingling. Like what's happening with the other monarchs, with the other kingdoms in the Rare Archipelago. Maybe King Jingling is lending covert support to the Rare Resistance. I think that would be a little fun cameo. Ryan Stiles? Get Ryan Stiles in there. Why the hell not? This is my game. maybe Ryan Stiles played Conqueror in a biopic of Conqueror's life, and now he's under fire by the Teddies, and they put him on trial in a kangaroo court. Wait for it. Run by literal kangaroos. Yeah, so Conqueror would have to free Ryan Stiles. So anyway, I say all this.
I like that bit. That's a good bit.
I say all this to reveal the main villain of the game. Because Conqueror thinks the Professor must be back. This is clearly the Professor's handiwork. He's the one behind all these conspiracy theories. He's this mysterious figure online radicalizing the citizens of the Panther Kingdom, Willow Woods, what have you. Anyway, turns out no. Because what did I say about getting truth stanked? Getting people stanky? It's Honker. Honker the Skunk is back. Honker the Skunk has destabilized society because he doesn't like where his life turned out in comparison to his arch rival, Conqueror. Conqueror went on to become king, went on to become this revered figure. Honker lost a boat race and just fell into obscurity. And Honker wants to watch the world burn. And so the final battle is with Honker the Skunk. And maybe it's broadcast across the interwebs. And everybody sees and hears Honker's plot. And Honker dies. Let's just kill Honker. Let's have Honker have a terrible death and give closure to Honker. Those are the characters I want in my game. Gibbon?
Okay. Okay. Well, I broadly agree that I want to reference lots of things. I want to make a special note that I think it's important to bring the other Diddy Kong Racing characters, the now branded Rare Racers, back. Just because, A, I'm glad they're getting somewhat of a revival over at Fangamer and whatnot. But also, B, they dropped off the face of the earth in all of the various Diddy Kong Racing sequels that never were. They weren't featured at all. Donkey Kong Racing was going to have just purely the Donkey Kong Country cast.
And Taj.
Diddy Kong Pilot. And Taj, you're right. Diddy Kong Pilot wasn't going to have any of them either. So I think it's important to showcase them and bring them back. But yeah, I'd also bring back the cast of Bad Fur Day and people from Pocket Tales and people from Young Conker and other things Conker's been in. I wouldn't mind bringing in some of the other, like, Project Spark heroes, because Conker did more in Project Spark than just Big Reunion. He also participated in the Void Storm Adventures and other things. So there's a wealth of characters to draw from, but again, I'd be pulling a Majora's Mask with them, where they'd be the character, but not. You'd have the familiar face, but maybe they're in a different place, in a different capacity, with a new name. Or maybe they've got the same name and personality, but they're doing something completely different with their lives, and they have no idea who Conker is, and so on. So I'd be bringing back a lot of old characters, while at the same time not. I did want to make use of Honker again, because one of the main things I would want to do would be everyone just thinks Conker is Honker. Like, this is apparently Honker's hometown. This is where Honker's from. Everyone's like, oh, hey, Honker, you dyed your hair. Why'd you do that? It looks kind of weird. Sort of thing, and Conker eventually just stops trying to correct them at some point. And yeah, maybe Honker shows up at some point. Maybe he's the one who had Conker dropped off here. Maybe we find out he's back in the kingdom, living it up, and people think Conker's just dyed his hair black in some emo phase. I do like the idea of bringing him back to prominence and doing something more grandiose with him. But my idea is more of a, like, Honker tried to trade places, sort of thing. And you have to fight him to get your life back.
I mean, that's probably a better plot than he shot the Undertaker.
He shot the Undertaker, but he did not shoot the Overtaker. look, character-wise, right? Character-wise, my thinking... A lot of my thoughts about the new game are not plot related or not overall story related, but I think that some of the one of the things is that the game has to be sort of set piece driven, because that's a big piece of what makes Bad Fur Day work. And I do not, we started this whole podcast out, Kyle, sort of saying,
Whoa, time out.
You didn't say Kyle.
Did you just call me Kyle? You just called me Kyle.
No, I didn't say Kyle. Shut up. Kyle, at the start of the... I was trying to combine the word Kyle with before. but the idea of a sequel just being the game Conker's Bad Fur Day, but more, that's not... at all on any level what I would want. I really don't want another game that is just Conker's Bad Fur Day. I think that fundamentally a new game has to be a different game, but it stars Conker and it continues the story and it does its own thing. But we can disagree on that, and we will, and the audience will, but that's the thing. But in terms of characters and things and thoughts, one of the things is it has to have these set pieces, and one of the set pieces that I already mentioned is that I really am focused in on the idea that Conker is in jail and has to escape through the sewers,
mm-hmm.
where he right. runs into booze.
Right, right.
But that, in my mind, in my vision, invites the opportunity for some of those sort of, I guess I'd call them cameos or character references, character mm-hmm. appearances. I don't think that Honker in my game needs to be a main character. But if you're going to put Conker in jail, you have to have some other... Excuse me for burping. You have to have some other characters. I'm squirreling it here. You have to have some other characters in the jail that he's going to run into in jail who are criminals. Mm-hmm. Characters mm-hmm. who are in jail because they've committed crimes.
Yeah.
But if you're going to fill the jail with characters, it might as well be characters that you've seen before, at least a couple of them. And that's why I love the idea of a couple of characters, like, for example, Honker, mm-hmm. or also, for example, Don Weezo.
Mm.
Don Weezo from the Conker's Bad Fur Day. But also Honker the Squirrel. It's some of the characters you might encounter when you are in the prison chapter of the game before you enter the sewer chapter. And the sewer chapter has less characters and more poop. But yes, that's one thing. And I think that's something that every game has to balance. When you're making a new game from a franchise that is exactly 20 plus years old,
mm-hmm.
you have to balance referencing things that the fans will recognize. And Bad Fur Day itself didn't even recognize Conker's Pocket Tales. But like if you did a plot twist where the villain was Evil Acorn, it wouldn't be a plot twist to anyone except for the seven of us who know who Evil Acorn is. It wouldn't be a twist. It would just be dumb. So the idea that Evil Acorn is in it, I'm on board with that. If you want to put him in there, I think you should. I think you ought to put him in there. I think they ought to put him in there. But you gotta you don't say this as in the new game. The thing is that the first Conker game was so niche, and all of the Conker fans that exist are niche, that you have to imagine that if the new game is a success, if it succeeds, 80% of the people who play it will have never played a Conker game before. That is successful.
Right.
That's
good point that would to be consider. Great.
If it is successful, then you're achieving new fans because the original doesn't have a lot of fans to sell a new game. Like if 100% of the people who buy it are fans of Conker, then it's a very small list. So we gotta narrow that. So the villain cannot be a twist about how it's Honker the Squirrel and he's wearing Evil Acorn as a hat or whatever. That's my thing.
Fair point. There's a way to tell the story, whatever that story may be, and dole out that history to people who do not know the history of Conker. Because the thing I wouldn't want with a new Conker game is just to reinvent the wheel yet again. We got that with Bad mm-hmm. Fur Day. I want there... Because look, let's be honest. This is probably the only Conker game we'd be getting for another decade or two. Maybe the last time in our lifetime. So let's go for broke here. And
yeah, I guess.
Now, I did... Jeff,
I could die the day after it comes out. I could die on my way to the game store trying to pick it up at the game store. I could fall into a ravine. So you never know.
I think the game store will probably die before you do, given the state of game stores. But
because they put it on the other side of that ravine.
Yeah.
They really shouldn't have put it up there.
Oh, Jeff, I like that you brought up Don Weezo. That's a character I didn't think of. Gibbon, I don't know if you were thinking Don Weezo.
I wasn't thinking Don Weezo specifically. I was thinking about the Weasels because I like them a hell of a lot more than the Teddies. They evoke the sort of mobster Wind in the Willows Weasels from Roger Rabbit. And they're just a design I really, really like. And they are also the primary enemy type in Young Conqueror, so I'd like to see them get a broader thing. So I would personally probably use them a lot more than the Teddies, just because I think the Teddies are kind of one note and their joke's already been played out. So, like, yeah, Don Weasel probably would have shown up at some point.
Yeah, like I could imagine him in my plot too somewhere. Not as a main antagonist, but it'd be a good thing too, because hey, that's the guy who killed Barry, and like imagine coming face to face with him again. Drama.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I would also like maybe bring in some characters from the other Bad Day pitch, maybe like recalibrate them a little bit for the modern age. Like Bunny, like bring in Bunny, but maybe not the way she was in that game. Just, you know, general character design and do something new with her as part of the Resistance. And whether you want to make her a love interest or not, I don't know. But just have her there. Have some new characters, too, because that is important. Like Jeff said, we can't just reference the past because it's a past very few people actually give a damn about. So
yeah,
but you can have that balance. You know, you don't just have to throw everything out the window, because that's my biggest gripe as a Rare fan is when we very rarely get our things celebrated in games, and it would be nice. It would be nice, especially Conquer, which has had just such a bifurcated history. It would be nice if you could just bring everything in there and let let every era of Conqueror get a little bit of shine on it. It's my thinking. Yeah. You know, this was interesting though. This little panel, because we all had three very different ideas, and I liked all of our ideas. I honestly did. Wouldn't have expected to like Jeff's idea. Had I heard it beforehand, but you know what? Jeff won me over with his vigor. He's a good pitchman, that Jeff.
Yeah, no, Jeff often comes up with good core gameplay ideas, I've found.
Right,
he's
diapers.
Really good at that. Yeah, yeah.
I figured out how to incorporate diapers.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. In the live stream, Freezer said, imagining this serious game about the depressing rise of fascism that took place while at the same time you throw bottles of piss and shit diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted.
I mean, ultimately, it would be a victorious defeat of fascism in my idea. Like, like at the end of the day, you win. But I can see why that would be off-putting, for your escapism. Just like I'm scared by horror, and that would be off-putting for me. And I'm also scared of other people, which is why Jeff's multiplayer idea would be frightening. So maybe all of our ideas actually suck. I don't know. But here's the thing, though. Conquer probably doesn't have a franchise in it anymore. It's probably not going to get many more sequels. Like, maybe like there will be...
Just wait until I'm in charge of Xbox.
Okay, all right. Well, if that comes to pass, then sure, all bets are off. But, you know, we might get an occasional one-off revival every so often. And you know... If that comes to pass, then we've just laid out three possible routes for them to take. But here's the thing, and I hate to break this to the both of you, but because we just pitched these ideas in a public forum, Microsoft can now no longer use them because they're afraid we would sue them. So that means that our three potentially very lucrative fun ideas for a Conqueror Bible are now rendered null and void. So I guess the new Conquer game will just have to be, I don't know, him pissing on somebody and some nasty cows taking a shit.
That's why none of my ideas in this podcast had to do with cum.
This has been a File 2 production.
Que rico!